I am John, Whoopi impersonator and a Ladrin warlock with the Warriors of the Stars. Along came Jason, my bearded friend. Fabulous secret ideas revealed to me the day he came to my house and said, I want to make a podcast! Only two others share this secret. Eric of the Loch Ness and Jacob. Together we started talking about toys, comics, games, and movies on the Super Awesome Geek Show!
Hello, 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 and welcome to another exciting episode of the Super Awesome Geek Show. I'm John, your host. Today we're going to have a little bit of a toy fest. So there was a portion of the holiday episode where Mad, Eric, and I talked about some Transformers and various things. And I felt like it didn't really fit in with the Christmas holiday special, and it made it a little bit too long, so I cut that segment out. I'm going to give it to you here now. And then later on, Rob and I talk about, we start out on the Transformers, but we end up talking about a lot of other toy lines, like the Centurions. Do you guys remember those? They were a pretty cool toy line and cartoon from the 80s there. And we recorded that a long time ago, but I never really quite fit it into any of the episodes. So I figured I'd give it to you today. So, let's get on with Toy Fest 2014. This is kind of the wrap-up for the year, isn't it? So I guess we're going to end on toys. We're going to end 2014 on toys, and we'll pick up 2015 with, who knows what. We'll have something recorded by then. I'm running out of my buffers. All right, guys. So let's get into the Toy Fest and start out on Transformers. Enjoy. More than meets the eye. Someone had given me a Metallica in 1984, I think it was. They gave me a Metallica Master of Puppets cassette tape. And I think that was a moment, you know, similar to you, Eric, you know, music, I think, was a clear moment where I remember a shift in my life, like something completely changed mm-hmm. when I heard Metallica's Master of Puppets. Mm-hmm. It was like a switch went off in my brain, and I totally shifted gears and was like, wow, music is awesome. Like, I didn't know it could be this cool, you know? Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get back into toys until I was, you know, almost 20. I was about 18, I think it was, when my father got me an AT-AT for a gag gift because they never bought me an AT-AT when I was a kid, and I always asked for one. Ever since Empire Strikes Back, I wanted one.
And now that you don't want one, here you go.
Yeah, well, I think he said that, I mean, I put it on the Facebook when I was writing about this, but I think he put it on the, he found it at a KB Toys for like $5 on clearance or something.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Sucks. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I guess that's how the story goes. The thing is, KB was the best toy store in the world because when they had a clearance section, the stuff was really on clearance. It was none of this crap that you find at Toys R Us or Target or Fred Meyer, when you go to their clearance section and things are $3 less than what they were when they were, and they call that clearance. You're like, yeah. That's not clearance. That's reduced price or marked down a little bit. You know, KB actually had clearance. You know, like I got those giant Jack and Sally dolls, those big 20-inch ones, for $3 each, you know, because they were on clearance. They really did clearance stuff. And yeah, my dad found the AT-AT for $5, the story goes. And he got me it was kind of a gag gift. But that got me to go back upstairs into my closet after probably being like 14 years old or something. So, I mean, 4 or 5 years of no toys in my life. And I pulled out all the old Star Wars and G.I. Joe and Transformers, found masking tape on them all with little prices like 50 cents, $1 scratched on them, and peeled all those tape off and was like, crap, I'm glad I didn't sell these at the garage sale.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And then started putting them up all over my room on shelves and things. You know, I wasn't playing with them, but I was putting them on display and being like, I like these things. These are cool. It got my friend Nofrio and I to open our own business when we were 18 or 19 years old. And we used to go to, I remember there was a thing called RATS, the Rochester Antique Toy Show, and RATS. And we used to go to that. I think they did it twice a year, and once in the summer and once in the winter. And we used to put up a booth at those things, and we would sell both, you know, toys that we no longer wanted from when we were kids, and then also things that we would find around town. And, I mean, our loop extended all the way up into Canada. We went to St. Catharines. We'd go up to Toronto, Because a lot of times we could find the toys in Toronto and St. Catharines and Niagara Falls area, you know, in Canada that you could no longer find in the States. You know, we found like Micronauts. We found like all kinds of things, Bionic Six figures.
Oh my God.
And we would bring them back to the States and sell them, you know, at these toy shows and like get 5 or 10 times the amount we paid for them, you know?
Yeah.
And we would hunt garage sales, estate sales, like all, we would drive all over New York State and sometimes into Pennsylvania and Ohio just to find toys and go to these big estate sales and various things and sell them at the shows. And then, you know, once started things going online, we could sell stuff online too.
So John, when you're finding these things and reselling them, is it mostly older people that have the money who remember having these things when they were younger, or do you find young people also into the older toys?
I would say it's mostly people our age buying things that they had when they were children. I really feel like it is when you get the older stuff. And then the other side of it is I get a lot of people like this year, Nofrio and I did that toy business for about 6 or 7 years. And then when I was at Xerox, I guess Xerox took up so much of my time. Yeah. And then I was into doing other things. Like that was also when I was at Xerox where I was working heavy with the nightclubs. So I closed down that business and didn't do anything with it. And it wasn't until like the last year or two that I got back into selling online, at least on eBay and doing the eBay store. Mm-hmm. Kingdom of the Geeks, if you want to go check it out on eBay. And now, the last 2 years that I've been doing that, this is the second Christmas that I've had the eBay store open. And what I'm finding is it's a mixture of both now. Like, the adults are buying, if I find old Transformers or old Star Wars figures, the adults are the ones that are buying those.
Mm-hmm.
But then all the other stuff, especially, you know, Ninja Turtles going all the way back. So even like the old Ninja Turtles from the 80s, late 80s and early 90s, and then the Ninja Turtles that are out today, like I just had a guy buy like 7 or 8 Ninja Turtles, all from various years, and he told me he just puts them, every year he buys them and puts them in a big box and gives them to the kids.
Uh-huh.
So the kids get, you know, for the price of 3 figures in the store, the kid gets 12 figures in a box all loose, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, my kid's only going to open them up anyway, so I don't need the packaging, so he just buys them in bulk and then gives the kid a huge box full of new toys. And the kids usually go crazy just finding, you know, so many toys in one big pile.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I think for certain things, but I don't think the kids would be as excited about an old Star Wars guy or an old Transformer because, like, the Ninja Turtles are still playable. The old vintage ones, they're kind of like the same similar style to what's out today.
Yeah.
But the old Star Wars figures and the old especially the old Transformers that, you know, a lot of them you just folded over and they were the robot, you know, It wasn't that complicated. I don't think the kids would want them today. I think they would just be like, what's this old piece of junk, you know? I could be totally wrong, but that's just kind of how I feel because I don't see the kids buying the old ones. It's always adults that buy the old ones from me and the kids always buy the new ones. If I come across, like, a piece of Devastator or the recent one or a piece of Bruticus of the new comic book line, you know, it's the kids that are buying those rather than the adults, you know?
Right.
I mean, how do you feel, Matt? Do you think there's a difference or?
I don't know.
Just don't know.
I thought we lost you for a moment there.
No, I was thinking, and I keep forgetting that my microphone has, it's the compression thing, so it doesn't pick up everything I say, or if I'm just like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I don't know.
Hmm.
It just depends on the person, I think.
Yeah. Like today, I collect them all. I mean, I like my old stuff and I like the new stuff that's coming out. So I get a mixture of both for myself as an adult collector.
Mm-hmm.
I do know a lot of adult collectors that do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it, like you can see with the pictures online, I love comparing the vintage figure to the new figure that's out. So a lot of times I try to grab them if I can find them at reasonable prices. Like today I just put Bruticus together, the new one.
Yay!
I was a little disappointed with Bruticus on the first put together. Bruticus is a combiner Transformer, Eric, where it has it's 5 pieces. So the body, there's 2 arms and 2 legs that alternate into individual robots and individual military vehicles. And then you can combine them all into one giant big robot. You
know? Yeah, I'm getting a picture of them. There's quite a bit of stuff. Huge arms.
Yeah. And when I first put Bruticus together, I was like, he seemed too spindly, and he was difficult to stand up. But then I found a fan modification where they turn the thigh joints in a little bit and did the arms in a different way.
Okay.
And now he looks more beefy and, like, he stands perfectly. So I'm like, oh, that looks cool. So I think I'm going to leave him in the fan modification version and put him in the cabinet that way.
Workarounds are always good.
Yeah.
Is he the new one? The new one that came out?
Yeah, it's from the video game line. So Fall of Cybertron.
Fallen War of Cybertron. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was also a really nice one.
Yeah, I managed to find all five of those in the packs back like, oh boy, it was a year or two ago, I think. But I never opened them. And then I managed to find Ruination, which is just a paint variation.
Yeah.
And then you can switch it so the arms become the legs and the legs became the arms, and that is how Ruination looks. But I left him sealed up because I just did a quick look this morning just to see before I opened up my Bruticus. Because I always wanted to put them together, but I knew he'd be so tall I wasn't sure where to put them. But now I'm kind of like, well, I got to find a spot to put Jetfire anyways. So I was like, maybe I'll put Jetfire and Bruticus doing battle. And Bruticus is only about 2 inches taller than Jetfire, so it's they look good fighting each other. But I looked real quick just to make sure I wasn't busting open something that suddenly became $600 worth of figures, you know. And you could still get Bruticus for about $100 to $120, even in the packaging. But I noticed that Ruination was up to like $200, $225.
Yep.
In some cases, the individual figures alone for Ruination are going for $40 each. So I was like, all right, Ruination is staying in the packaging and he's probably going to get sold. Because I don't need two of a very similar guy. It's just basically a repaint of Bruticus. So I'm like, now that Bruticus is open, and I'm gonna keep Bruticus, and I'll probably sell off Ruination to make some more money and pretend he was a good investment, you know?
Investment.
I think altogether he only cost me about $60 when I found the figures individually.
That's not too bad.
Maybe a little bit more, because they were about 15 each, and there's five of them, so probably about $75, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so turning 75 into 200 is not too bad.
Oh, yeah. No, that's good. Always good.
The only question is, when do I sell them? Before Christmas or after?
Dude, before Christmas, you want to just be putting that stuff up because you know there's going to be somebody who's just dying for something like me who's clearly trying to find Metroplex.
Oh, I can't believe the Metroplex. I am so upset with that one because I can't find him for less than $300.
No. I know, and I should have bought him when I saw him at Costco, and I didn't. I'm forever kicking myself in the butt for that one.
Was he all assembled at Costco?
So he was in this box, and he was only $80 at Costco. And, you know, my roommate and I were like, and this was right before last Christmas last year, and I was like, you know what? There's a lot of them here, and nobody's looking at them. I'm sure he's going to still be here when we get back from when we get back from wherever we're going, because he was going to Saudi Arabia and I was going to Seattle. So when we get back, I was like, all right, let's go to Costco and pick up Metroplex. And I get there, he's gone. He's just gone. And I was like, oh my God. From now on, if I see what I've been looking for, I'm just going to buy it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. Strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah, so when I saw Jetfire about a month and a half ago, I was like, oh my God, Jetfire's just sitting there on the ground. Like, literally, he looked like he fell off the shelf, and my roommate was like, oh, we got to get him. And I was like, yes, we do.
Now, does your Jetfire have the red and black weapons, or is it all red?
It's all red, and it's that super kind of plasticky, fake-looking red. It's the only problem I have with that figure is those, and if you flake it a little too much, all the red paint comes off.
Yeah, so mine's really like careful. Mine's like a metallic red.
Yeah,
on the weaponry. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I got. And just be careful with it because it'll just come right off.
Because some of the pictures I've seen online match the box, which shows it red and black. So I'm it leads me to believe that this is a second issue version.
No, I think that's the Takara version, the Japanese version. Because you know how those have just slight paint modifications
and
additions?
Okay.
So I think that's the Japanese version that's on the box, because my Windblade that I got, she's the North American version, but the one on the box is the Japanese version. Yeah, and I was just like, no!
I'm okay either way. I like the Jetfire pretty good. I saw him, like Jason told me about the Bumblebee with the exosuit spike or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Masterpiece one. Eric, I don't know if you saw that or not, but there's a Masterpiece Bumblebee that looks like the cartoons that we grew up with.
It's amazing.
And it comes with that little robot that they built, Wheeljack and Ratchet built for Spike, the human person, so that he could transform into a car and drive around with them. Yeah, and I always wanted that as a kid. I was like, well, I want the figure of Spike in his little exosuit, the robotic suit that they built for him. And finally, they have a figure of it. But I think it's just a little bit too expensive. So if someone doesn't buy it for me for Christmas, I told my brother, hint, hint, I want the Bumblebee if you can do it. And but I probably won't end up ever getting one because I just think he's a little bit too much. But when I was looking at that stuff online, I saw that the Jetfire was out. And Jetfire is a giant white jet airplane with these red, like, boosters, turbo boost rocket things on them or whatever. And it was one that I always wanted when I was a kid but never got, you know. And I remember one of my friends had them, and I was always drooling over them every time I was at their house. So I was glad they came out with another one. But I noticed it had been out for about 2 months or so, and I was like, crap, I haven't seen them in any of the stores around here. And it just so happened the other night I left work and I went to Target in Factoria, and they had one on the shelf for $34.99. So I was like, I don't really have $35 right now, but I was like, I can't pass this guy up because I really want him. And I know if I don't get him now, he's going to skyrocket to like be one of those $100 figures. And I'm always going to be like, crap, I never got him. Because I won't spend that kind of money on a figure.
You know what else just came out?
What's that?
The new RC and the new Chromium.
I just saw that too, yeah.
Okay, if you see that, I will throw money at you, and you need to grab it for me.
I haven't seen it in the stores, but I just saw them online. Yeah.
They're nowhere up here. I can't find them. All and right. Brainstorm just came out, but I pre-ordered him, so he should be showing up before I leave for Seattle.
Those are so cool. All these things fold into, is Chromia or RC a motorcycle?
Both of them are.
Chromia,
right?
No.
Well, RC's like a little car thing, a space car.
Yeah, she's like a sweet little hot rod, and then Chromia turns into something that looks a little bit like a Tron motorcycle now.
Tron.
Because she's based off the new Chromia.
Okay.
So,
those,
oh my God, they're so nice looking.
When I was a kid, that was always so cool. The robots folding into, you know, something else. That was pretty nifty. I love that about Japan.
Yeah.
I love it.
I can't wait for Japan to make real ones. Like, someday we'll get a Honda Fit and it'll actually turn into an Asimo, you right?
And then he'll probably destroy the house and enslave everyone. And I, for one, await our new robot overlord.
We're going to talk vintage toys. And I'm here with Rob Clifford. Rob, say hello.
Hey, how's it going, folks?
I'm John, by the way. Yeah, today we want to talk toys from the 80s mostly, right?
Yeah. Vintage toys from the 80s.
And I think it's going to be interesting because we come at this from a couple different perspectives.
Yeah, I grew up in the States and on the East Coast in New York. And
well, heck, I grew up in Japan.
There you go. And Rob, let's refresh. What year did you really get into toys and start playing with them, do you think?
Oh, God. My parents, this is going to make me sound incredibly spoiled here, but my parents would take me out Saturdays to the toy shop, and we would go take a look at cool toys. And I remember this going back to the time pretty much that we went to Japan. So I'd say, God, three. So this is like 1980, 1981-ish or so.
Yeah. So you think, about 1980 was when you first got into toys.
I mean, that I'm sure I got into them before that, but that's when I really remember stuff. And then those are the toys that I still have actually to this day, because God forbid, my mom, just drilled it into my head. It was like, hey, play with the toys all you want, but hey, just stick them back in their boxes when you're done and just put them away in the closet. And I did.
Wow.
I know, crazy, right? But I have boxes of boxed vintage toys from Japan circa 1980 through the early 90s.
I'm coming over to your house.
You really should. Seriously, I want you to take a look at some of this stuff because I think you'd get a real kick out of it.
About 3 years later, you'll find this guy with a really long beard somewhere in the closet. Ah, I've got all these cool toys.
Well, see, the funny thing is that my collection is kind of like the Power Star from, I think it was the Power Star, right, from Brave Star, right? It is like, the part of it is over at my parents' house still, God forbid, in boxes, like in the garage and whatnot, and the other half is here, and I've started going through them and cataloging them a little bit.
That's cool. I mean, two mighty
halves that need to be reunited.
Seriously, someday if you got it all together and you feel like showing it off, I'd love to take a look at it. It'd be pretty cool. Oh,
definitely.
Go back through memory lane, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, heck, I could use your help and expertise anyway.
So, the first toy, Rob, well, I don't, let's, you know what, since you grew up in Japan, well, I got to answer the question, don't I?
Definitely. Yeah, well, yeah. So, when did you first get into toys?
Well, my first inkling of it, my first idea would probably be the Star Wars ones. Like you saw on the website, I have the photo of myself getting Han Solo in 1978. Nice. It says 1978 on the back of the thing there, so I'm assuming that it's correct. You know, I'm assuming my mother wrote it on the back when she took the picture, right? So it's probably been written on the back ever since, you know?
Well, mothers usually are kind of the chroniclers of our lives, right?
Yeah, and that's the Christmas that I got all 12 Star Wars action figures.
Nice, okay, nice.
The very first 12, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The landmark set.
Yeah, yeah. I do believe that Han Solo is the very one that I still have in my C-3PO carry case in the back there. I think he is still the same I've had ever since.
Which is
But I do have two or three now, so yeah, just kind of get them over the years. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Well, you got to snap them up when you see them, right?
Yeah, yeah. Especially, like, back in the day, you would find them here and there for $2, $3. They'd just be in, like, a bin, and they'd be, like, you know, $2, $3. And whenever I stumbled across those things, like, 10, 12, 13, 14 years ago, I just usually would buy the whole bin and be like, I'll just take them all.
Awesome.
You know, because, I mean, I knew that they were not going to stay that cheap forever, you know?
Oh, sure, sure.
You know, well, the collector's market catches on, you know, after a while. I mean, everything is cyclical. Things kind of come into vogue, you know, 20 years after they came out in the first place.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, my blue Snaggletooth, you know, the ultra rare one that you could only get in the Sears set, I think it was.
Okay.
He was a $4 find in one of those bins.
Nice,
when I bought
nice.
The whole box, you know. I was like, I'll just take all of them. He was in there with them.
Oh, God.
That's how I got him.
Yeah, I got I got the blue Swoop, the Dinobot.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Do you have, a bunch of the colored ones? Like, there
oh,
were
yeah,
red
yeah.
ones, green ones, blue well, ones? Well,
I have the original Diaclone set that came out from Takara in Japan in the early 80s before the Transformers
yeah.
were a thing.
Well, isn't that what they modeled it? Like, they basically just took those and recolored them? And
pretty much, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because, wasn't Optimus Prime called Convoy or something like that?
Yep, he was called Convoy in Japan.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them had different names, and of course, I don't remember all of them off the top of my head anymore. I'm so bad about that. I wish my memory was as good about this stuff, but, you know, I have, you know, 5 or 6 years of corporate culture that kind of clogged up my brain, and I've been slowly shedding it here over the last, like, 4 or 5 years that I've freed myself from those shackles.
Oh, boy. So let's go through a few of the toy lines and things, and we'll see what the differences are. Because I know, like you know, over here we saw Voltron, where you guys saw Golion, right?
Yep, absolutely. Although, interestingly enough, I
got to see the American stuff, because the base had a single English channel that broadcast regular American TV, usually a couple years late, right? But so I actually got a limited experience with the American Saturday morning cartoons, and while still watching the other stuff on the other, you know, Japanese channels. So I've seen some of the changes between the different series, which is probably just a show in and of itself. Good lord.
Yeah, like for example, Voltron, where we had, what was it, Sven, right? We had Sven
yes.
just kind of go away, right?
Yes,
or something.
He's off to help the resistance on another planet.
You know, it appeared as though he died.
Oh, he got stabbed, dude. I mean, he got, like, dealt
with. I mean, we kind of saw part of that, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they still just kind of wrote it off as him being gone.
Yeah, yeah. There's no farewell, and everybody's bloody well crying when they're talking about him going off to another planet. And I'll tell you, it ain't because he went on vacation. It isn't because he went to help the rebels. He is dead, dead as a doornail, cold, 6 feet under in the earth, dead. Like, no coming back from that kind of dead.
And that's kind of what I wanted to do. I wanted to touch on, you know, some of the differences that we may have had. Like, I remember the Centurions. Were they called that in Japan?
There was no corresponding Centurions line in Japan. I got my experience with those toys from a jaunt to the States, actually, in the mid-80s. And where, the first place that we went to when we landed in L.A. was a bloody Toys R Us.
Well, those figures stood out. I remember that in the store, because they were like...
Oh, they were huge!
Yeah, they were huge! And they just had all these parts that were all over them. And it wasn't like, you know, it's like, whenever you usually saw huge toys like that, they were Barbie type, or, you know, so it was like kind of like Ken, you know? And,
yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I think of them as like a, you know, like a 12-inch, like 1/6 scale, almost. And I'm sure that really means, you know, because, you know, our perspectives of size change so much as we grow. There was probably like an 8-inch, maybe a 10-inch.
I feel like it was about 10 inches because I had an Ace McCloud
in the
Kingdom of the Geek shop a little while ago, but someone had already purchased him. He didn't have any of his equipment. It was just him, you know, as the figure itself. No, none of the parts that went on him, you know, that clipped on.
Oh,
I didn't have any of those. So.
See, those were so cool because, I mean, they sold all those as little, you know, add-on sets, and it was kind of brilliant marketing-wise. I mean, geez.
Yeah, because you could have the figure, and then you had a couple different things you could get to clip onto them that were add-on sets. You're right, yeah. I feel like I remember that as well.
It was like really, when I think about it, it was like the first modular action figure like that I can really think of, where they really added where they added on a whole bunch of like expansion packs and stuff, you know, to clip onto the figures.
Yeah.
You know, it was just cool. And
it was interchangeable. So, I mean, like, if you got one figure and you got, like, say I got Jake Rockwell and you got Ace McCloud, we could interchange the different parts on our different guys, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the name of the third dude on Centurions? Because I know it as, like, the Grand Adventures of Ace McCloud, Jake Rockwell, and their companion Porn Stash. I genuinely do not remember what the dude's name is, and
they never seem to have him in the commercials. It's like they're ashamed of him.
You know, it's always, you know, Ace McCloud and Jake Rockwell versus Doc Terror.
But, you know.
Yeah, well, there was Max Ray. He was the Sea Operations Commander.
That's gotta be him.
Yeah.
Oh, Porn Stash.
Yeah, it's probably him. And then later on, like what would probably like later on in what would have been season 2 or something, I don't know, like around episode 30 or so, they added Rex Charger and John Thunder.
See, I didn't get to see either of
those. He's listed as the expert energy programmer. What is an energy programmer? How do you program energy?
That's a good question. Jeez.
Early understanding of how computers worked, maybe? I don't know. Jeez.
And this other guy, John Thunder, is the specialist in infiltration commander.
Oh,
geez. They had a Sky Vault. Oh, Crystal Kane worked up in the Sky Vault. The girl, yeah.
See, I remember her. I remember the original three. I don't remember ever seeing anything beyond, you know, first season. So we were in the States for like, I don't know, 2-3 months. And I religiously watched the cartoons because they were awesome. And there were so much more variety than what I had back in Japan. For English cartoons, at least, you know. Yeah, though those toys were just cool. And then, like, I didn't know that there was a Native American Centurion.
Yeah, I was just saying that. I was just realizing that John Thunder, which, I mean, should have given it away right there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Because, you know, if we're going to have a racist trope that quite literally turns into a bloody bow and arrow, why not go all the way with the naming, too?
He's the Apache infiltration expert.
Oh, geez.
A specialist.
Oh, the 80s. This is before cultural sensitivity was a thing.
No, it says that it's to introduce racial diversity into the series. Just like they did with the Super Friends when they added Black Vulcan, Apache Chief,
and Samurai.
Samurai and El Dorado.
Oh, yes, yes. But they do it in, like, the most, like, racist, like, stereotypical way possible, which is, you know, when we look back at it now, it's just like head shakingly, oh my god, what were they thinking? And but, you know, back then it was kind of cool. Well, hey, you know, Asians like me, you know, didn't exactly get a whole lot of representation on American TV, so...
Yeah, and a lot of times you were played by a white guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know? Like, what was that famous film... great.
Which one, Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Right, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Hello?
You know, it's like, that's just a perfect example of what they used to do.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And nowadays, when if someone did that, you'd just be like, what is, you're dead. Sorry, something's wrong.
Oh, yeah, you know? Absolutely. Oh, geez.
Well, you know, we've come a long way in 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, we have a long way to go, but at least we have made some progress.
You know what I thought was interesting was I watched this week. I've been watching some of these episodes on YouTube and things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that the characters in the Centurions were very well written in the sense that, I mean, they spoke to the kids like adults.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how long has it been since you've really seen one? Is it fresh in your mind or not?
Well, you know, I watched at least some clips here, you know, before tonight,
so that I could just
kind of get it back in my brain. And God, it was cool because it just brought back a ton of memories. But before that, it's been, you know, 30 years.
Yeah, because I just noticed that. Like, and it was almost written in a way that was, you know, they must have modeled it a little bit off of something like Star Wars or Star Trek and things, because I thought it was interesting how when they're going into space, you know, up to the heck is it, you know, the space station, right? Duh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why couldn't I get the word station out, you know?
They're all space, right. Headquarters.
Yes, they're space in headquarters. Space. They're in space Justice League dome thing. Lights on it. They they're up there and they're saying, like, we're coming in 0.5, you know, swing it around, you know,
mm-hmm.
push it in 2 knots over the right, you know, or something, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like today's cartoons don't do that. They don't take the time to add those little tiny story elements that make it seem like it's a real thing, like something's actually going on. You know, in order to dock with this thing, he's got to, you know, line the ship up and do it, you know, kind of like how they were in Apollo 13 or something, you know, like they would be in a movie or whatever, you know?
Yeah, you know, the attention to detail is definitely nice.
Exactly, that's it. The attention to detail in the dialogue was very well done.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, well,
I feel like, you know, that was kind of a golden age of, you know, Saturday morning cartoons. I mean, American animation was sort of at its height. And and it's like, I think that you've seen that kind of decline here over the decades. I mean, no offense to you know, modern cartoons or anything, but they just don't have the prevalence that they had, with a few exceptions like, you know, Adventure Time and, you know, Bravest Warriors and whatnot. But back then, I mean, every channel had cartoons for, like, what, 4 hours, 5 hours, something like that? I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you had to my brother and I would kind of plan our Saturday mornings and our after school, you know, like, we'd get home 2:30 after school,
mm-hmm.
and then we'd watch cartoons till 4:30, sometimes 5.
Oh, yeah. You know?
And
yeah.
Then Dad would take over the TV and watch his news and all that stuff, and we'd go play or do whatever. But it was like, that was our thing. We'd come home from school, get like bowls of cereal and some toast or something, and sit down and watch a couple cartoons. And
afternoon
we would flip
cartoons.
You would have the things programmed in your head, like, okay, at 4:30 we got to switch over to channel 12, and at this time we got to change the, you know, turn it over to channel 8 quick, you know.
Oh, man. And see, for me, my Saturday mornings when I was in Japan were pretty well catered for me because I only had the one English channel. But yeah, on the other channels, I was watching stuff like Gundam and Macross.
Oh, jeez. We had Robotech, yeah.
yeah. And there were a bunch of different Transformers offshoots, too.
You guys got more Transformer offshoots than we did, I think.
Oh, Transformers, I mean, it's still going on to this day, I think, in Japan. There have been, like, what, 12, 13, 14 bloody series? It's crazy. I don't think that it ever really ended, honestly. But, yeah, Transformers 2010, which took place after Transformers the movie, which taught me how to cry. when Optimus Prime turned all, you know, grayscale, I'm just like,
yeah,
wait a minute.
I just watched the documentary on that the other day, and they had the commentary people, you know, the people who are doing it, the writer, the guy who directed the film, and they had two of the producers on, and they were all like, we were just like, well, there's a new toy line, so let's get rid of the old toys and bring in the new ones. What better way to do it, since this is going to be in the theater, and we wanted it to be PG, you know, not like a G movie. Well,
yeah.
Let's just kill them all.
and I remember
they didn't realize that all the. I mean, they said they had parents writing them, saying, "What
the trauma?
Did you do? My kid is traumatized. He didn't come out of his room for 2 weeks." You know.
Oh my God. Well, you know, I mean, been playing with those
generations of toys since what, like 1984.
Yeah.
You know, just like. No. It was brutally painful. Good God.
You know, and I, if I remember right, that was the first time I remember ever hearing profanity in a cartoon.
Like when he was getting sucked into the Unicron after the.
Yeah, it's like, oh shit, Bumblebee! What are we gonna do now?
Yeah.
Oh God!
He got sucked in, yeah.
I loved it. It was shocking, but kind of cool at the same time, you know. And then, you know, went on to enjoy a whole lot more, you know, violent, profane 80s movies that, you know, formed me into the, you know, lovely, lovely brash young men that you hear before you today.
So did you like the GoBots? You
have
them?
Yeah, but we had them as Machine Robo in Japan. It was a whole huge toy line that did not have a corresponding cartoon that I recall. I mean, I'm completely off base on it. Because, no, there were at least a couple different... You know, Machine Robo related series, actually, now that I think about it, but I don't remember one like GoBots, you know, where you had like Psy-Kill and Leader One and all that. That was definitely a distinctly American take on those characters.
Interesting.
I
have this vague memory of seeing maybe one or two of the cartoons,
mm-hmm.
and just being like, Even when I was young, going, they're not as good as the Transformers.
Oh, God, no. Well,
you know?
The transformations were way more simple. They were, you know, smaller toys. They were, I don't know if the American ones were die-cast the way that the Japanese ones.
They were. Some of them, they had die-cast, like, chest parts, you know, and the arms and legs that kind of folded in or popped up or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometimes were still plastic.
Okay. But
I remember I actually have one in the store of the, in the Kingdom of the Geeks eBay store of the, it's the forklift, an orange forklift.
Oh, nice. I have a nice little collection, actually, of the Japanese market Machine Robo, you know, little figures like the, you know, the Aston Martin and, the scooter, which I always loved. For some reason, I just thought that was the cutest little robot design with its little happy face and everything.
I want to find I guess I wouldn't mind finding a Leader One, because I had one when I was a kid. I had Leader One, I had Psy-Kill, I had Cop-Tor. He was cool.
Cop-Tor.
And I had
worst names. I mean,
they did. Yeah, they did. I mean, we had more of the toys than I remember watching the show. Like, we might have seen one or two episodes, and I was just like,
the show.
Dumb ripoff of Transformers. I'd rather, so I just watched Transformers all the time. I never watched.
Oh God!
But we had plenty of the toys. We loved playing the toys.
Oh, the toys were great. The show was just not good. I remember there was the GoBots movie that came out. And again, this infamous, you know, video store on my base. I picked it up from there, and I remember it being just god awful. Most likely, I'm guessing like 8 year old perspective. It's like, this kind of sucks. The animation was kind of crude. I mean,
I had this space shuttle one. Mm-hmm. That one I really distinctly remember the space shuttle.
Oh, yeah.
When I was
a
kid, I was totally into the space shuttle. I was
me too.
Coolest thing we've ever built, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the space shuttle was what hopes and dreams were made of for a child of the 80s, I think.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember when the Challenger disaster happened, and that was like a little piece of your hopes and dreams crashing in front of you, you know? I mean, that was brutal.
I had a neighbor up the street who collected a scrapbook of all the shuttle launches and everything that happened with the space program.
Uh-huh.
And he had a nice, you know, newspaper clippings. He had, a good scrapbook. And he used to stay home and videotape all the launches. So I remember there was quite a few times where I would skip school with him and stay home. And, I mean, I don't know if my parents wrote a note and they figured something out, but to me, I was skipping school, so it was adventurous, you know. And, but, I mean, it was educational because I was watching the shuttle launch, right? Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm not encouraging any kids to go skipping school now.
unless you could learn, more from
shuttle launches.
Something, really, really awesome and sciencey.
But so I think I was sitting there. I have this vague memory of sitting there in his living room, and we watched the thing live blow up on TV.
Yeah, yeah, I remember
it. That's where I think I was.
For me, it was before school, Japan time, right?
Okay.
And I watched it. It must have been 6:37 in the morning. Wow. Before I went to school that day.
So you were basically up special to watch it before going to school, or were you normally?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, the space program was cool.
Yeah.
I had a jacket. I wouldn't be surprised if my parents still had it to this day. But I had a jacket that was like a space shuttle jacket that talked about all the different shuttles and everything, the Challenger. And the Challenger was on there, too, I mean, because it was one of the active shuttles.
Yeah,
they had going at that point in time.
I had a toy of it that we had gotten one of the trips when we had gone to Florida. We used to go to Florida a few times when I was a kid, and one of the trips I got it was maybe like a foot and a half long plastic model, and the doors on the top, like the shuttle bay opened up, the cargo bay, and it had like a little round like satellite or something just sitting in there. And I mean, it was real simple. But it had stickers on the side, and one of the stickers said Challenger. I always thought that was pretty cool. I have no idea where it is now, but...
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
I remember, hanging on to it just because it said Challenger after that, disaster happened. It was being like, I'm going to hang on to this now. But somewhere in one of the moves or whatever, it disappeared.
You know, to your knowledge, was it the Challenger disaster that kind of led to the changing of the colors on Astrotrain, or was that just kind of a rumor?
I have no idea. Do you think he was changed to those colors then?
Well, because I have the original Japanese release, right? And he has a white space shuttle and a black train. And in the States, it's purple
and
brown, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. I just assumed it was because an awful lot of Decepticons were purple.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but Astrotrain... Yeah, Astrotrain was white and was white and black.
I'd like to see some of those. I'm gonna have to go out there and look for Japanese versions of all these Transformers and check them out, because you're just making me like, oh, this is so cool.
Drool at all these weird rare variants.
We're co-hosts in disguise. So we'll stop it right there. Rob and I kind of brought it full circle back to talking about the Transformers. Hope you guys really enjoyed that one. A little run through Toy Fest, talking about different cartoons and the Centurions. That was a cool one, huh? Haven't thought about those guys in a long time. All right, well, I hope you guys all have a happy new year. Stay safe. Keep it geeky out there, everyone. See you next Friday on the Super Awesome Geek Show!
You've been listening to the Super Awesome Geek Show! We have new episodes every Friday. Interviews and other cool stuff go up on Tuesdays when we have them. You can find us at superawesomegeekshow.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/superawesomegeekshow. We're on Twitter at Awesome Geek Show. We have a Patreon account, patreon.com/superawesomegeekshow. All your pledges help, and we really appreciate the support. If you'd like to participate and or be on the show, just email me, john@mowich.net. Well, from all of us hosts, we'd like to thank you for listening. Hope you have a good week. And join us next time on the Super Awesome Geek Show! See you later, everyone.